Okay, so we're catching up a little bit and going further. And maybe we'll do it far. So the Mishnah had a machlokas. Okay, it's the Mishnah machlokas. If you have a guy who goes rotzeach b'shogeg, he kills b'shogeg, goes to the Aron Mikvah. Okay, now let's say he's not allowed to leave. So let's say he does leave. Okay, let's say he does leave. So the Torah describes, it says, if the guy leaves and the Goladam finds him and kills him, in lo dam. So he's not chayv. He's not chayv misa, he's in lo dam. Okay? So it's not clear whether that means that the Goladam should kill him. The Goladam is the relative of the deceased. So it says, it's not clear, there's a machlokas, how do you interpret that? It says, if he leaves, he leaves our miklat. And the Goladam finds him. And the Goladam kills him. Ain lo dam. There's no dam. So what does that mean, viratzach? Does it mean, and he should kill him? Or does it mean, he can kill him? Okay, that's the machlokas. That's the first part of the machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Yosef holds a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for the Goladam to kill him. Rabbi Kiva holds no, it's not a mitzvah, it's just a rishas. Okay, just a rishas. Now, the second thing is what about somebody else? Could somebody else kill him? So the one, Rabbi Yosef, who holds it's a mitzvah for the Goladam to kill him, he holds if there is no Goladam, then anyone else could step in. Anyone else is allowed to step in.
As the Goladam to kill him?
Yeah, or to anyone else is allowed to kill him. Uh-huh. I don't know if he's called the Goladam, but anyone else is allowed to kill him. Okay? Anyone else is supposed to kill him. But Rabbi Akiva, who learns that the Goladam himself is a Rishos, he holds that other people don't have Rishos. But he agrees that they're not Chayiv Misa. The guy's an Ein Ladam. He's like a dead man in a sense. And if they do kill him, they're not Chayiv Misa. But they're still not allowed to. No, I don't know if it's even... I'm not sure. So it's not clear. But they're not chayav enough. They're no rishos to count. Okay? So it's like a double machlokas. It's like each one lowers... Everybody else is a notch lower than the Goladam. So if you hold the Goladam as a mitzvah, so then everyone else is a rishos. If you hold the Goladam as a rishos, then everybody else is not allowed to, but it's not a tzicha. You know, they're not chayav for it. Okay. So this part we kind of did last week. And we said like this. We said, how do you understand the halacha of when he leaves? Is it pshat that when he leaves, leaving galus is like mechayev misa? It's like, you're not allowed to leave galus. You're not allowed to leave chayev arme. You killed. Now your sentence is you deserve aramekla. If you enter society, you decide that you murderer, dangerous person, enter society. That's mechayev misa. And the halacha of the Goladam, it's like an onash. There's halachas when you leave, and you're leaving Arei Mikla, and you're going into the world, is Mechayev Misa, and therefore Mechayev Misa. Now, who's the mitzvah to carry out this Chayev Misa? So the Torah says, it's on the Goladam. And so it's really like an onash. Your onash is that you're Chayev Misa, you're Chayev Arei Mikla, at the risk of death if you leave. And if you leave, then that's Mechayev Misa. So now you're leaving is Mechayvi Misa, and the Torah allocates that chova, that mitzvah, that onesh, to the Goladam. Okay? Which is similar, in fact, the Rambam happens to hold, that when a guy kills on purpose, but Mezid, and he's Chayv Misa, the Goladam, the relatives, Bezin tells the relatives to do it, to behead him. Okay? So that's just an, but it's a particular in the chov. But the guy really has an onesh of misa. He's chayiv misa. And the Goladam's a mitzvah. And if the Goladam can't do it, so he's still chayiv misa. So then someone else should do it, because this, he really deserves an onesh. But the guy really deserves an onesh for leaving Arei Mikla. They're really chayiv misa, and he deserves an onesh. So the mitzvah is biyad Goladam. because the Torah has said it doesn't have free for all. The Torah gives it to allots the mitzvah to a particular person to go on them. But if he's not around, then it goes to the it's on anybody else, right?
When he leaves or when he's outside of the city.
Well, that's a good question. That depends on another question: is this the same thing, when he's going on his way to the city? Right? Is that what you're asking?
No, I'm asking if he leaves and then goes back.
No, when he's outside. No, you're correct.
So it's only when he's outside that he's...
Yeah, right, that's
the
true.
The Chiyuv Mitzvah is only conditional Chiyuv.
Yeah, right. And so far as he's denying Ari Mekla, so far as he's out of Ari Mekla, if he goes back, then he gets his life back.
Right.
But it's Chovas Mitzvah, the onesh of being out of here is all right. It's for being outside. That's the chet. So he's omed in that chet. So then he's chayv misa. And so far as he goes back and he re-enters Ari Mekla, then he's not chayv anymore. Okay. Now fine. The other way to learn is no. There's no onesh misa for that. There's no onesh misa for that. Rather, there's the halacha is when you're a killer or a tzeach b'shkaga, is the Torah defines as an ein lo dam. The Torah doesn't protect his life. The Torah says he's like worthless, he's not protected, the Torah doesn't recognize the value in his life. He's a killer. And his ticket to existence, to having a right to live, is being an Ari Miklat. So if he's in Ari Miklat, he has value. If he's out of Ari Miklat, he doesn't have value. He's an ein lo dam. He's not protected. He's like a dead man.
What does that phrase mean?
Ein lo dam means like he doesn't have value. He doesn't have blood. Like, his blood is not valuable. Like, halachically, he's like a dead man.
Okay.
So it's like, we're not machshev his life, and we don't protect it. It only protects a person's life, and says, you're not allowed to kill him. His life is worth something. It's significant. So here, by you being a killer, you don't have a right to exist. You're like an animal. You're not significant. Torah doesn't protect your existence. Now if someone kills you, okay, so it's not murder. You're not killing someone who's important. Like, you kill an animal, for instance, you kill it, right? So it means you're taught luckily you don't have value. But he's not chai, it's not an onesh, it's just saying the Torah like removes his value. And now if someone kills him, so now he's then a chai meso because he's an ein lo dam. I mean, so the first position I was holding is like the leaving itself, it's like there's a chiyuv misa on you for leaving, for denying the Ari Mekla, for being out of there. You're saying it's not a chiyuv, it's not an onesh of misa, it's just the din, it's a removal of your value, of your significance, and therefore you're subject to being killed. And if someone kills you, then a chiyuv misa.
You lose protection of business.
Right, exactly. You lose the Torah's protection. But then it's a step further. Still, everyone else isn't allowed to kill you. Now, allowed to, it's just not Ritzicha. But the Gol Adam is allowed to kill you. Right?
Yeah, why not?
So why not? So, for that we went to a piece in the Grizz where he talks about there's a number of people who are like this, where there's a person where he doesn't have... If you kill him, you're not Chayiv Misa, but at the same time, you're not allowed to. And he showed, and there's a lot of ways of killing also, which technically are not Ritzicha, but still it's like you're a killer. It's like God will take care of you. Or, and there's an idea is that killing, there's like the technical Tzuras Eser of Ritzicha, it's like an Eser, which is that you do a Maisa of killing someone, a person who has value, who halachically has value. But then there's like just a phenomenon of Shvichas Damim. There's killing human being. Killing is, even if you get around the technical form, like for instance, Rambam says, if you hire a hitman. So you hire a hitman, technically, look, he's the one who did it. It's not my fault, I didn't do it, he did it. But it says, still, you're a killer. Still, halachically not, but God will go after you. You know what I mean? So like, there's a reality of killing beyond the technical structure of the Esser. So like it says, if you kill a treifa, someone who's like a dead man, so then also, you're not chayav misa on Bezdin. But it's like, it says Bezdin doesn't kill you. But it's still killing, he's a human being, and you're killing him. So that's what I'm going to say here, the same thing, is that you have no right, you don't have a shus to just kill a human being. So it's true, he's an ein lo damim, and halachically, it's not the iser etzicha that you chayav misa for. Because halacha deprived, removed his shame of the yeshal dam. But he still is a person. And therefore, you have no right, you don't have a shus to just go and end the human life. You have a shus. But by the Gol Adam, the Torah gives a shus.
Why don't you say it's a Maisa Ratzicha?
I'm saying the word Ratzicha. My point is that there's a technical, like any halacha has a technical tzura. And you can avoid that technical tzura. But then, but the iser, it's usser to do some, to do killing, even if you, it's not the technical tzura, because it's Ratzicha's Daman. For instance, things which are not Ratzicha and a Jew isn't killed for, Ben Noach is killed for. Because he's still killing. So he is like abortion, for instance, one of those examples. It's like technically lax and full chias, but for Ben Noach, it's chayav misa for it. So there's an idea of spilling human life, which is shrichas damim, and you're not allowed to do that. That's also, but that's not the isser lo sirtzach. That's not what you chayav misa for. So the chayav misa for when it meets certain criteria. Once he's named damim, that's not the halachic structure
of it.
So what the Torah did is, so in theory, you know, it's not Ratzicha, but you still have no right to just spill human blood. But what the Torah did is, in setting up the institution of a Gaal Adam, the Torah set up a Rishos for the Gaal Adam to do it. Now you say, why would the Torah do that? So why would the Torah do that is, first thing I'll say is not as a philosophical question, why? But that's what the Torah is doing, is giving him Rishos. But we said, perhaps, just why, just to give some sense to it, we had two different approaches. One approach is because that's what enforces the fact that Gaal Adam, that the guy will stay in the Gaulis. There's the way you stay, and there's, if no one's allowed to kill him, it's part of the onesh of Gaulis, is that you have to stay in Gaulis for your entire life, which is a very hard thing for us to do. And it's, you'd imagine people won't be keeping it. But the fact that it's at the threat of death, he's hitar atzmal misa. When you leave, you open yourself up to being killed. That's what forced, that's what keeps you in Aram Eglon. So it's like the Torah in giving rishus to the Gaal Adam to do it, it allows the onus of a gullus to work properly. It's just that it makes you bound there by the threat of death. Part of the thing is like you're there permanently, you're not leaving, you're not thinking of leaving, that's it. You know, so if it's just a matter of that's the rules, you're not allowed to leave. But you leave, so you gotta leave. It's an iser, but it's the kind of thing here, it's like it has teeth to it, the onesh of Gaulis. Is that it's at the threat of death. The Gaal Adam's gonna be stalking you at the door of our Megla, we need to kill you. And another thing is we thought, I'm not sure exactly the idea, but there is an idea of a Gaal Adam, which as you see by murder, there's a mitzvah for the relatives to kill him. So there's a value, apparently, to a guy avenging the blood of his relative. Apparently, it's interesting. You think it's like revenge. It's not a very highly looked upon institution in the world, and in the Torah, even, would seem. But there is an idea of a Gaal Adam, you know, of a guy avenging the blood of his relative. And perhaps an idea, I'm not sure, but maybe it has something to do with, like, that human blood, human life is valuable. And you can't, like the Torah, there's psukim that say, the aretz shouldn't, you can't ransom, you can't collect ransom for a person who killed, there's an idea of a dam naki. And you can't just let a person just be killed with no repercussions, and just let a guy, there's an idea of avenging his blood. It's like a kavod ha'adam, that human life is avenged. And the person doesn't just get away with it. And the Gaal Adam, killing the murderer, is a kiyam, is that the one who's responsible for expressing the significance of his life and the cover that kavod, his relatives. You see his relatives mourn him, that's an expression of kavod amaze. It's like a den of kavod to the deceased, to a human being, that human life is significant and we don't just let human blood be killed and, you know, it's like almost like if you just allow it to go, it says, oh, okay, fine. It's okay. It's killed, no big deal. So the ones who are responsible for his kavod, which are his relatives, are the ones who respond. Part of his kavod is to avenge his blood. So the Torah gave her shus, even though he's an Eil Adam. Here, it's not just nominal idol killing. He's an Eil Adam, but you just don't have a right to kill people. Even though he's an Eil Adam, you don't have a right to just go and kill somebody. But here, you're not just going and killing somebody. There's a kiyam in expressing this idea of the kavod Adam, of the Gaal Adam killing him. So the Torah gave her a shus to express the kiyam of that idea. Now if he's in the Torah, rather if he goes to Gaulis in his kapara, that's even, it's also...
The other side says it's enough.
Okay, so what we're doing now is like this. Is now there's a third shita. Turns out there's a third shita, and this is kind of what we're getting into today with the Rishba comes up. But the third shita holds... Even if the Gaal Adam kills him, he's chayav misa. Can't kill him. Yeah. Totally so, different. He says, if what the Torah says, Ratzah Kol Adam Elo Adamim, right?
Yeah.
He says, it means the first thing that you all have to do is bring him to Baslam. If he leaves the Ari Miklat, you have to bring him to Baslam. Now, if he then got, then presumably means, then this whole thing is, if even after you bring the Bezim, Bezim sends him back, he still leaves, he still says, I don't care, then you can kill him. Then the system implies. But prior to that, just because he leaves, he's not, you can't kill him.
I said, then the first time they
leave. Now, that in order to get to approach this, to understand this position, who is it? Rabbi Eliezer, right? I mean, it's a Tana and it's an Amora, but I guess it's Rabbi Eliezer. Yes. So there's an earlier question in the Gemara, which is like this. Is, let's say, what about when he's on his way to Galus? When he's on his way to Galus, before he gets Sarimek, but he kills Bashogeg, now he's running to Galus. Let's say the Besan says he's a Chayav Galus. He's running, he's on the run. Could he kill him then? Okay? Could the Gozan kill him then? Before he gets to Galus, or if he does kill him, then what happens? So that was the position of Rav Huna. Okay, Rav Huna said, one second, Rav Huna says he's Pater, he's allowed to kill him, or he's Pater from killing him, he's an animal down. Okay, he's subject to being killed. But it wasn't clear. I mean, it was the Gemara had the other way to go also. Well, I wasn't sure. Okay, the two different possibilities in the Gemara. So again, while he's running to Ari Miklat, is he subject liable to being killed? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, right? This is not if he escapes, but if on his way to Ari Miklat. Huna says he is liable to being killed. Okay, but the other position in the Gemara, or how many of the Gemara are there, or whatever, is no. You can't kill him. Okay? Question is he in Odam at that point? Or do you say no? Are you Chayav Misa for killing him at that point? Right? So the Ritva brings up that there are those who want to learn that this is the same exact question. Same question.
Because he's what's learning.
Because basically he's a guy who kills Bashogeg. And this would be the question. Is what happens when you kill Bashogeg? Is it Pshat when you kill Bashogeg? And this maybe is a little further. Is it Pshat that murder Bashogeg really you Chayav Misa for? Right? But Galus is a mechaper. So as far as you're in Galus, you're free. You don't have the onesh. As far as you're not in Galus, then you're chavisa. You're killed. You're a killer. So on your way to Galus, you kill him. Until you're in Galus. If you walk out of Galus, you can kill him. This is basically, you're in Galus. In Galus, you're in Galus, you're, I'm sorry, once you kill, then the Torah doesn't protect you anymore. And the only way the Torah protects you is if you're in Galus. Okay? Only if you're in Galus. Right? Right. The other way to learn is no. That really... No, really... One second. No, so really is that you're not Chayav Gal. You're not Chayav Misa. Really, you don't really lose your life for killing a shogeg, because it's only a shogeg. Really, what you do is you chayav galus. You chayav galus. You're not chayav misa. You don't lose your life, you chayav galus. But the only thing is that someone who denies galus is chayav misa. Well, it's not that killing is mechayav misa. Killing is a shogeg. What's mechayav misa is if you say, listen, I don't care about galus. Galus, forget about galus. That's what Chayav Misa. You can't be a killer. Yechiv is galus. But if you just ignore it and you say, listen, I'm not interested, then you're Chayav Misa. Then you're an Inodan. Then you're supposed to be a killer. Okay? But Yechiv is not Misa. It's not, again, the first way of learning this is that basically killing makes you dead man, and galus saves you. Right? This is a different way of learning. This is saying, no. Killing makes you Chayav galus. But it's the denying of galus that makes you subject to death. Right? So if that's the case, you can't kill the guy. He's running to Galus. What do you say? He's not denying Galus. On the contrary, he's on his way to Galus.
He's accepting it.
And then if he leaves, so now you have to have the Bezin determine that this guy's really denying Galus. Just because he walks out of Galus or Miklat doesn't mean that's it. You're going to kill him. All you have to say is, he really denying Galus? Bezin says, oh, hey, go back to Galus. He says, okay, fine, I'll go back. It's only if Bezin tells him, if he goes, they bring him to Bezin, and he's adamant, and he denies it, and he still leaves, and whatever, then you'll say he's denying Golas. But just because the guy walks out of Golas doesn't mean you have a right to just kill him. Maybe he just walked out, or whatever. So that's Namaz Neni Nupsak, that the guy is in defiant of Golas, he's denying it. It's the denying. It's only if the Golas isn't working, if the guy is removing himself from that, he's chayav. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you learn that way, then they're really the same thing. Okay, same question. Whether it's before you go, you know, or after you go, it's the same question. Right? On your way to Ari Miklat is the same thing as if you leave Ari Miklat. The point is that are you a dead man out of Ari Miklat? Dead man out of Ari Miklat, you kill him on the way, you kill him when he leaves. Or do you say, no, you're not a dead man out of Ari Miklat, you're really Chayav Galus, and it's only for denying it. Right? But the Ritva doesn't like it. Okay, and the Ritva holds they're really two separate questions. Okay? So this is what I'm doing now. The Ritva holds are two different questions. When you're on your way to Ari Miklat and when you leave Ari Miklat, two different questions. Okay. So he says like this. See, he doesn't like it. I'll tell you the Ritva doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. The Gemara never says that these two issues are related. The Gemara discusses the issue at length on the Avyod. What happens if you kill him while he's on his way down to Ari Miklat? Talks about Rafuna, and then it discusses at length here the story of Machlokas Rutana and whatever. If a guy leaves Ari Mekka, what do you kill? The Gemara never says these two are the same Machlokas. Gemaras do that. Gemaras are always looking to show where things are. You know, are these two things really the same Machlokas? You should say, you should link them up somewhere. Gemara never does that. So the Ritva to the Ritva, that means they're not really linked. So he says, I think his Rebbe, Rameh Halevi, held that they're linked, and his Rebbe held that they're linked. So he says, but he doesn't understand because Gemara never says that. So he says, "We love the Mistafina Meirab V'san Zal. If not for the fact that I was afraid of my Rebbeim or these great people, I would say the following." Okay, the low pligi, they don't argue. Okay, which is you find that in Rishonim and Chronim. Sometimes the person says, "Listen, I know there are greater authorities than I who say something, but bottom line is I don't see it. And if I weren't afraid, then I would say this." To my mind, I see it like this. But I'll defer to them, you know, that kind of thing. So he's a little plicky. The deal of Milabaha de Hacha Mode Ravuna. The Golam Naragalas. It says, Ravuna, who's Ravuna again? Ravuna's the one who says that on your way to Ari Miklat, you can kill him. Okay, he's subject to death. Alright? If you kill him, he's Bata. He says, maybe even he will admit the Gol Adam Neharagalav. That the Gol Adam, when he runs out of Ari Miklat, the Gol Adam can't kill him. Namely, the Gol Adam could kill him on the way to Ari Miklat, but he can't kill him when he leaves. Which sounds funny. It says, the Kivon Shekvar Kal Tuhu Mechitzos L'Rotzayach. Since the Mechitzos already got him, he already entered Ari Miklat. Vidaito Lachzar Sham. And he plans on returning. So as before he goes to Ari Miklat, he's not there yet. Then he could kill him. But near he made it. He made it to home base. He's safe. Now he left. Okay, he plans on coming back. Okay, so you could say that even Rav Huna, who says he killed him there, says he can't kill him there. Okay. V'hu ha-din shayah shalom. Right now you could say, da'afil Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yossi da'an rach she'eno ne'arag. And you could also argue the opposite. Even Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi, who say here that he's not killed, right? That when he leaves, he's not killed, right? Havei Amri Hasan Herak. You could say over there on his way, he is killed. Okay. The Shiny Hacha, Shepasha Harosi. Opposite. Even according to them who say that here he is Chayav Misa, that you could kill him, that when you escape from Ari Miklat you could kill him,
right,
could admit that on his way to Ari Miklat you cannot kill him. Here you're a Poshaya, you just left Ari Miklat. Who said you should leave? You left, so I'll say you could kill him. On the contrary, over there you were running to Ari Miklat. Right? Yep. Right, so he's saying is you go both ways. And it's like there's a chumra in both ways. On the one hand, that's more chamor because the guy hasn't yet gotten to Ari Miklat. So you could say, since he hasn't yet gotten there, therefore he's subject to being killed, because he's not there yet. But here, he already got it. So he left. Yeah, fine, he's coming back. Right? On the other hand, you'll say, the other guy on the way there, what do you want him to do? He's doing everything he can. But once he already got to America, now he leaves, he's a poshaya. He's his own poshaya, and therefore he's, you know. So it's like there are two different questions he's saying. That, or the question, earlier question is if a guy is, before he gets to Arei Miklat, he's trying to get to Arei Miklat, he wants Arei Miklat, but he's not yet there, is he Chayav Misa? Do you say he's Chayav Misa already? Right? And now he Arei Miklat is his tool, to his key to safety, and if he doesn't get there, a tough break. Or do you say, no, he's only a Chayav Misa if he denies Arei Miklat, but here he's in the middle of running. That's there, that's that question. He's saying this is a totally different question. This is a question he got to Arei Miklat already. Now the question is, he leaves, but he plans on returning. Do you say that since he plans on returning, so he already got here, he's in Arei Miklat, he plans on returning, he's okay, still he's not Chayav Misa yet? Or do you say no? Once he's post Shea and he leaves, then he's a dead man. You kill him. Right?
And this is what Rabbi Eliezer
is... This is what Rabbi Eliezer exactly
is saying. Is addressing?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Rabbi Eliezer is saying is, since he already got to Arei Miklat, even if he leaves, since he plans to return, and I guess that's what the Bezin is going to be involved in, is saying, does he plan on returning? But if he plans on returning, so return. Don't kill him, just bring the Bezin. Bezin will say, get back. And, you know, if he says, live, he's adamant, says the Bezin, I'm not returning, then fine, then he's dead man. Yeah. But so that's really Ezra's position, that once he gets into Arei Miklat, he's safe even if he leaves, right? Dait Lachzar. Whereas the other position say, no, once you leave, that's it, you lose. Once you leave, you're Chayav Misa, you're Poshaya by leaving. So that's what I wanted to find now. Okay, what's that Machlokas? Assuming Golik Ritva, that beforehand is a different question. Now you're in Arei Miklat and you've made it, now you leave, but you plan on returning. Do you say that you're dead, you get killed, or not? This is an argument for Rabbi Eliezer. I have to explain it.
I know, but the bottom line is...
This is what Rabbi Eliezer is talking to us, so we have to figure what he's saying. He says, Kivan Shekvar called Tuhu Mechitzos Rotzeach, since the Mechitzos already grabbed him in, the Daito Lachzor Sham. And he plans on returning. Therefore, if the Golem kills him, then he's Chayav Misa. That's the question. Who cares if Daito Lachzor? But he's not in Arei Miklat.
First question.
I think Gil's saying good. That it means, what's the halacha? Kibi'ir miklato yeshev ad mosikon gadol. That's your dira. That's your yeshiva. That's the mitzvah. What gives you a kapara is that's you relocate. You're no longer a citizen of wherever you are a citizen. Now you're a citizen of Arei Miklat. And until you get to Arei Miklat, you're not a citizen of Arei Miklat. But once you go there, in kvar kol tuhu mechitzos, now you're in. You're in the mechitzos. They got you. You're safe. You're protected. Now you're a Dar of Arei Miklat. Now, I ask you, if you're in your city, and you just step out to go to the whitewater rafting, and they say you're not a Dar of your city anymore, you still live there. That's your Dira.
Yeah.
If you go there and you say, see you later, I'm out of here, forget about it, and Bezin determines, they paskin, the guy's gone, he's leaving, he's out of here, right? You bring the Bezin. If he walks out, you go to Bezin, Bezin says, hey, you got to be back there. Get back there. And you don't have a right to leave. You don't have a right to leave. Yechayiv is to stay there, not the Dira. The Dira here, Yechayiv to stay there permanently. But it's saying, but just because Yechayiv to stay there, does that mean that the second you walk out, you're not a Dar of Arei Miklat? You're still a Dar. That's still your residency. Still your, and it will protect you. What he learns to protect you is that you're a resident of Arei Miklat. You're a resident of Arei Miklat. So he says, just because you walk out doesn't leave it. Now you walk out and say, no, I know you're not planning on coming back. So bring him to Bezin, and Bezin will tell him, listen, you have to come back. If he says, listen, I had enough, then Bezin will pass again. He's not a Dar of Arei Miklat. But now you have to, because the running to Arei Miklat gives him a Chal Hashem, a status of a Dar of Arei Miklat. And now in order to break that, you need a Bezin to Paskin, that he's removed that Hashem. So once he removes that Hashem, then he's subject to being killed. Until that point, he's Chayav Misa. So that's one way to learn that Machlokes is right. What's called it? Is the Arei Miklat itself, it's like a bomb shelter? In a bomb shelter, what protects you in a bomb shelter is the walls of that bomb shelter. Yeah. The fact that you're in the bomb shelter.
Not the fact that you own it.
Yeah, not the fact that that's where my home is, in the bomb shelter. It's very nice, but the bomb doesn't care. So yeah. You could say what protects you is that you're in the Arei Miklat. So if you're in there, you're in there. You're not in there, you're not in there.
Yeah, and he's also...
There definitely is a din of living there. But the question is that what's kolei you? Is the klita limited to being there? Or do you say that it's tully in your shame as a dar, and therefore you could say just because you walk out, it doesn't break it.
It's us for you to go out.
That's true. So there's two ways to go, I think, in the other side. The other side says it has nothing to do with a dar. It just has to do with you being there. Or you could say it does tully in your din of a dar. But since this dira is a dira which you're not allowed to leave, it's a little different than ordinary dira. This is like a restricted dira. So you could say the moment you step out, then you're not a dar and nara miklat anymore. You know what I mean? You could say that's a machlokas. It's like, ordinarily in a dira, if you walk out of your makom, you don't say you've broken your dira. But since the halacha of this dira is that you're chayiv to stay here forever, so you say the moment you step foot out of there, you're not a dar anymore. You know, that's another way to go. You know, like there's two ways to learn the other shittos, you know. Is it that they're learning that no, they agree that the klita, the protection, is dependent upon being a dar, but do they agree with that dira is dependent upon a dar? But they say that in this kind of a dira, the second you step out, you have no shame dar. Or they argue altogether. They say no, the protection has nothing to do with dira. It has to do with you being in the city. If you're not in the city, that's it. You're gone. Right. Let's keep that in mind. I mean, I'm not sure. There's two ways to go on that question. The next question, maybe we'll get more clarity next, but the next question is, in the sugya, is what about if you leave, and this is relevant, very relevant to this, is what about if you leave Bishogig? Okay? You didn't realize you're not allowed to leave, or you didn't realize that you're stepping across the border,
right,
and Goldam sees that. Could he kill you? Or not? Is it only if you leave Bemezer, or even if you leave Bishogig? That's the question, right? Machlokas. That's what we're going to have to do, is we're going to have to look at the Gemara there carefully and try to carefully hold the different things and see if these issues are linked together. I mean, you have the issue before he's running to Arei Miklat on his way there, then when he leaves, and now there's Mezid or Shogeg. I mean, these things are very tied together. But yet they're not all the same question. They're different questions. So that's what's interesting. You know?